All right, folks, for the download button, our Survivalist Podcast. And as always, folks, you can catch all of our old shows at survivalistpodcast.org, soundcloud.com/survivalistpodcast, and all places where fine podcasts are available. Before I jump into the news portion of the show, I guess you could say, I actually have a stack of news articles here. We're going to get to all of it, but I just want to point out too, I'm gonna put the link in the show notes below for our Rumble. Actually, I've been posting videos up on Rumble. I have one up there right now, which just talks all about the 2000 election controversy with George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, and of course against Al Gore. I forget who his vice president was, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, but yeah, I have the whole thing there up. It's about a 7 minute, 7.5 minute video. I cut that all myself. I produced it. I directed it, cut all the clips myself. I guess you could say I produced it, but go ahead and take a look at that. Like I said, I'll put the links to it in the show notes below. It's actually a really good clip. I'm going to try to do a short video every week up on Rumble. I have a couple of things I've already got in the pocket to go, about two other videos, and I'm working on some other stuff. But like I said, I just wanted to say I'll do that. And it's all, of course, all that stuff you can find up on our website, survivalistpodcast.org. Obviously, it's all, if you click on videos, there's links to all the video stuff there too as well. But I always tell everybody just go to our website because we put everything on there. But if not, if you want to go directly to Rumble, I'll have the link below. Like I said, stack of news stories this week. Just so much to talk about. I guess for me, the bit, what I feel, because I use it a lot, the big news of the week is that Goldman Sachs has said that they want to get out of the business with Apple. Goldman Sachs saying that the Apple Card has not been profitable. They're saying that there's been just so many issues with people charging stuff, not paying for it, and there's been a lot of issues with fees and things that have just not worked out for Goldman Sachs. And now they're actually saying that they don't think it's profitable and that they want to get out of that business with Apple. Apple is looking at possibly partnering with somebody else, and they are actually looking at possibly American Express. So I bring that up. I know I tell everybody you should always try to pay down is any credit card debt you have. I know we're living in an economy right now where some people have no choice but to use their credit cards, especially if you have like a big car bill or something like that. We actually use the Apple Card because we like the reward. You get 2% back and 3% and 4% back depending on if you go certain places. So we use it because you get the money back and then we pay it off every month. That's one card that we use for that. But who doesn't have some credit card debt? You try not to have any, but who doesn't at this point? But especially with this crazy economy and the prices of everything going up. But like I said, we use it. And actually, some interesting things I want to talk about with the credit cards. I know it's usually we do news first, but a friend of mine, they're going to Europe this summer. For their, I believe it's their, I think it's their anniversary or something like that, or it could be some event. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But they have a credit card through I believe it's the airline. And what you use, every time you use the card, it's like we get money back on our card. But instead of that, what they do is you get miles. And actually, if you get the more you use the credit card, the more miles you get. So they're actually said they already have they've been using this credit card since last year, knowing they were going on this trip, and they already almost have enough miles for one of them to go round trip, and it won't cost them anything. I mean, that is a prime example of, like I said, how you should use a credit card, make that money work for you. Like I said, we use the Apple Card a lot only because we like to get 2% and 3% back, and then we actually automatically transfer that money to the savings account, put a little money in savings, or we put it back in our checking account. But like I said, you should always be using credit cards that give you rewards. If you're using a credit card that doesn't give you any rewards, don't use it. Like I said, very, really important to make sure that you know, if you are using credit cards, you try to pay them off. And also too, making sure that you know, are getting points back and rewards back with that stuff. But I thought that was interesting. And the other thing that was interesting is Apple actually was supposed to get their Apple Watch banned started. I guess they went to the courts and they actually got an extension up to the 5th. I guess they're hoping that by the 5th, They're hoping that President Biden will go ahead and sign it and allow them to keep selling them. If you guys remember, there was a patent dispute over the iPhone and Obama signed it so they can keep selling iPhones in America. Sometimes the president can come step in and do that. I know that's what happened to Apple. They would have been, not been able to sell iPhones, which imagine how the world would have been different if that had happened. But like I said, in this particular case, it's actually if they can get Biden to sign the executive order that they don't have to be banned, they can keep selling them. The issue, reason why they're being banned is because they have some kind of patent violation on the O2 sensor. My only concern about that is I actually use the O2 sensor on mine for sleep apnea. So I'm more hoping that either Apple pays them to license the patent, or I'm hoping that Apple doesn't just send an update out and disable the functionality, because companies have done that. Google did that when they lost the Sonos patent lawsuit and stuff like that. So I'm actually really, really hoping that does not happen. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. Something else I wanted to talk about that was in the news this week that I thought was really interesting relating to tech. The New York Times is actually suing Microsoft and ChatGPT for copyright infringement. Now, New York Times is behind a paywall, as you know. Well, apparently, Microsoft has used all the database of, I mean, New York Times has had articles, for decades now. I mean, I think it's over 100 years old, I think, that newspaper. But anyway, they've been using that, the database there to train their AI, OpenAI, Microsoft's been using it to train. And what the issue is here is, and like you're saying, well, they're just using it to train their AI, right? But the problem is now when I type in something, you get that if you type in a specific word or specific phrase, you get that the information that's supposed to be behind a paywall. So it's actually a copyright infringement issue. And they're saying that this could be a big class action lawsuit. I think they said the Wall Street Journal might be jumping online with this. And also, too, they might be, I believe it's the Wall Street Journal, and I think it might be the Washington Post, but I'm not sure. But there's a couple of them that are going to jump online with this lawsuit because, I mean, think about it. It's copyright infringement. And then the other problem is, too, since the AI learned how things are written, they could write an article in the same tone as, say, the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. So it really actually is a big copyright infringement. A lot of people are saying, how did Microsoft get behind the paywall? They probably just maybe bought a subscription or whatever, and that's how they were using it to train their AI. Like I said, I don't understand who thought this was going to be a good idea and if they thought they weren't going to get hit by it. But this is apparently going to be a big class action lawsuit. So Biden, President Biden and the First Lady apparently are on vacation till after the new year. I think they went to the Keys or somewhere like that. They went tropical. But apparently they are going to be away till after the new year's. Kind of surprised there was a lot of news this week, only because usually this time of year is rather quiet for the news in general. But it's been pretty busy with news this week. I'm kind of surprised, especially considering the president's away and all that kind of stuff. But before, I guess, he went away, he authorized a strike. U.S. military carried out an airstrike on three facilities used by Iraq because the Monday night, I guess the night of Christmas, they attacked our base. Three troops got hurt. One's in critical condition. So he went ahead and attacked, you know, the kind of retaliated back, which I think he should. It's important. The reason why I say that is because, you know, they're not, I mean, we're supposed to be over there kind of keeping the peace. And when they attack a military base, he does have to show strength, especially you're dealing with the Middle East, which, I mean, they only understand force. I mean, I hate to say that, but they really do. And so that's why he did that. But like I said, I expect that from the president. You know, he does come from a military family. Bo, his one son, was a very decorated military person. So I would expect him to be very military oriented. I don't think I didn't care for that. I just felt like Obama didn't. I mean, I know he respected our men and women, but I just never felt like he understood it like Biden does or anything like that. And that just, like I said, it's just the way I feel. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's just the way I felt about it. He had nobody in the military that served and stuff like that, so he didn't get it. It's a little bit more, you get it a little more when you have somebody that's in the service or you are in the service yourself. Over in Israel, by the way, they're speaking of military men. They have people over there that are dying, getting really sick from a super bug that they're having. They give guys IV antibiotics and stuff like that. They've actually had a couple Israeli soldiers die of it over there. It's from contaminated Gaza soil. So, like I said, they've had issues with that. And they're actually, like I said, they have had multiple cases where they have to, either people have gotten really sick and died from it. Like I said, it's all from that Gaza ground soil, which is contaminated with sewage and other pollutants following months of the bombardments by the Israel forces. But now, you know, the guys are getting sick, dying of, you know, this stomach bug or resistant bug. I know they said they, you know, they're treating people with, you know, with IV fluids and stuff like that. But then, you know, it's tough enough being over there, being a soldier. And now you got to, you know, you're in the battle, you're in the line, you're in the line of fire. And now you got to deal with something like this on top of it. It's just, you know, unbelievable. And this is kind of something, too, I want to point out that kind of happened over in Vietnam. You'd have a lot of our guys that were actually, like, they would get, you know, hit with a, you know, landmine or a shell. And not that itself doesn't kill you. I mean, you lose a limb, which, I mean, is horrible, yes, but doesn't kill you. But the infection would kill you, because they would, you know, cover that stuff with, they would, you know, cover the landmines with feces and stuff like that. So when it blew up, it would get in the wound, and you'd get such an infection. They would do that even, too, with the pits, where you'd fall in the pits, and it would only maim you, but they would use feces and stuff like that. So you'd get cuts and stuff that would just get nasty infections and things like that. So it's just, it's one of those things where sometimes things, maybe the explosion or the trap doesn't kill you then, but, you know, it maims you or wounds you or whatever. And that leads to, you know, what does kill you. So it's, that's not a new war tactic, but it's definitely it's from all that poisoned soil they're dealing with. And who knows what else is in the soil over there. By the way, too, I want to point out that the Michigan Supreme Court rejected, by the way, the insurrection ban for Trump. Well, did, I think it was Michigan did it, and I think there's, I think all the ones that, that actually did it are bad, or they got thrown out. I know that they just before we started the podcast, there was news that Maine was going to try to get him off the ballot. They're trying that now in Maine. We'll have to wait and see how that. Well, we won't hear probably much about that till the end of the day, or possibly next week, but. Or next year, I guess, actually, because Monday the courts won't be open. So, like I said, that was in the news. Like I said, the whole week was all these different states thinking about trying to get him off the ballot, and apparently that didn't work out well for all of them. So now they're, I bet they're gonna probably find something else or some other way to get him off the ballot. They're saying that the insurrection, they're saying it's basically because of the insurrection. But the problem is with that. Is one, he hasn't been accused or convicted. He's been accused, but he hasn't been convicted of it. And the 14th Amendment says that nobody that was involved in a mutiny or any kind of coup or anything like that can be president. The issue with that being, one, he's not convicted. And two, the other problem with that is that was basically, that amendment was designed for anybody that did through like the Revolutionary War to the Civil War. They couldn't go ahead and be president. Like I said, he has not been convicted yet. So I don't, that doesn't work as far as I'm concerned. And I'm not, believe me, I'm not one that's saying, okay, he should be president again. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is you are innocent in this country until proven guilty. He has not been found convicted yet of it. And I think that to me is kind of the problem with that is you're saying, okay, well, it's grounds on this amendment. Well, okay, I agree with that. If he gets convicted, then yes, that should stand. But He has not been convicted of the insurrection. So, I mean, that really doesn't stand up. Legally, it really doesn't stand up. So, like I said, I kind of agree with it. Just because, again, you're innocent until proven guilty. So that's kind of my issue with it. Let's see. Donald Trump Jr., I guess they said put it. Well, he was actually on Rumble today doing a show. But Donald Trump Jr., put his dad on notice over Nikki Haley. I guess he wants her. He wants his dad to pick a female VP, so they can get more female votes. I'd actually think that's a good idea on the father's part. Personally, I think that if his father does run again, that would be a good choice as far as she's got a lot of support, and have a woman on the ballot against Biden, who has a Harris on his side. So I think that would definitely be a good pick. Also, too, speaking of the Trump family, a lot of people pointed out that the wife, Melania, the first lady, well, she was the first lady, former first lady, excuse me, was not in the picture for the family photo at Mar-a-Lago. The son, well, I believe Barron was her son, but she wasn't there. I'm wondering if maybe he just had him for the holiday weekend or whatever like that. I can see Barron was in the photo, and so was the rest of the Trump family, but not Melania, the former first lady. And they might not be together. I think she still stays at the penthouse in New York. I think she was happy being a trophy wife. I don't think she wanted to get into politics, but I think since he ran, she kind of had no choice, and I'm wondering if that drove the wedge, into it. So we'll have to, like I said, I don't know. There's been speculation about that for a while. I mean, it is their private life. I think the president or former president should be able to have, any president should be able to have the right to, have a little bit of a personal, especially something that serious going on. But like I said, that was noticed that she was not in the photo with them. So, by the way, too, something I wanted to point out that I found out in it's amazing that these things happen no matter kind of where you are. But apparently there's a far right extremist group over in Germany. And one of the things that they've been doing is they've been buying up rural land, this extremist group, and they want to start their own little country inside of Germany. This is actually, authorities are checking into this, saying members of this far-right movement who rejected the post-1945 Germany state are making a target effort to establish large parcels of land so that they can offer schools, clubs, public offerings. They are looking into possibly starting their own little kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, little congregation or whatever like that. Maybe that's not the right word to use. But like I said, it was in the news this week. I thought it was a really interesting story. Just because I guess Germany is not happy about this, and Germany's got a pretty rough history with leaders. We all know about that, but they're actually looking into starting their own kind of I don't want to say a colony, but their own little property inside of Germany, their own little country, I guess you could say, their own little whatever you want to call it. But yeah, I saw that, and apparently Germany's really looking into this because they're afraid it could be something else. I mean, like I said, we know Germany's had issues over the years with leaders, so they're definitely checking into this. So this next story I found, and I guess maybe because I have daughters, maybe this kind of resonated with me, but apparently there's a First Amendment claim that was struck down in the Project Veritas case focusing on a diary of Biden's daughter. Apparently, criminal prosecutors may soon get to see 600 documents pertaining to the alleged theft of a diary belonging to President Joe Biden's daughter after a judge rejected the controversial group Project Veritas' First Amendment claim. So those of you guys that don't know what these get, Project Veritas was founded in like 2010. They identify themselves like a news organization, but they basically do sting operations. They embarrass news outlets, different organizations, Democrats, stuff like that. And basically they got a hold of this diary, and they want to basically use it and all that kind of stuff. And I guess the diary was written, basically was something that Joe Biden's daughter had, and apparently they want to use it, and they want to make a story out of it, and they want to they said on social media they spent a lot of money trying to get this diary, and they want to be able to release it out to the world or possibly use it to impeach Biden. This is the most insane thing I've ever heard. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, Hunter Biden's laptop is one thing, but I mean, this is the most insane thing I've ever heard. I mean, the thing is, it's probably going to be embarrassing stuff in there. I mean, kids, I mean, young kids, I mean, well, she's not young, I guess, but still, either way, it's a diary of her thoughts and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's just, I mean, I understand that, I understand what they're trying to do. It's mudslinging, but they want to try to read through and see if she has any personal information that could lead to Biden's impeachment. I don't know. But either way, I think it's kind of a little bit crazy personally. And I think now they're just kind of reaching a little bit. Personally, I think it's, again, a lot of taxpayer money wasted just to try to mudsling, if you know what I'm trying to say. Good news for you guys that are in the stock market. Apparently, the Dow Jones posted a record close. It's one of the highest. It's actually one of the highest futures it's actually seen, in quite some time. I guess a lot of it's because of that interest rate thing. I think that sparked a lot of confidence in the market, since they're not going to be raising interest rates or anything like that. So I think that's a huge part of it anyway. But like I said, also too, it is that time of year where, you know, companies do see, especially retailers see a surge just from the Christmas sales and stuff like that. Like, you're definitely going to see people like Apple and stuff like that posting really good quarters after the holiday season. I think, you know, it's just one of those times of things. So Russia and Iran have decided to trade in their own currencies rather than the U.S. dollar. Apparently just finalized an agreement. The agreement would allow, like I said, both banks and the economic actors, it says, can now use infrastructure to trade in local currencies. Apparently, I think they want to do this because Iran has become increasingly important to Western Moscow, Ukraine, limited Russia foreign trade routes. Yeah, this is all, a lot of this, I think, is because of the whole thing with Ukraine and the embargoes and stuff like that. It makes it easier for them to trade in their own thing rather than trade in the U.S. dollar. Well, but like I said, it was interesting to me that they decided that they made an announcement about this, that they're actually going to be trading in their local currencies versus the U.S. dollars. I think a lot of this is still the embargoes and stuff like that. I know Russia said they needed, I think, fighter jets and helicopters, all that kind of stuff. They're still fighting this, you know, whole thing. Israel authorities have said military cooperated with Russia to expand. Iran said in November it had finalized agreements for Russia. Oh, no, Russia is going to be providing fighter jets, Mi-28s, and all that. So they're, oh, this is all for military equipment. That makes sense then. But yeah, apparently they're going to be trading, using their own currency, not the U.S. dollar. A lot of this is because of the embargoes and stuff like that that are still going on, and the tariffs and all this stuff that Russia's still dealing with. And they still want to be able to trade. They still, you know, especially with Iran, Iran needs stuff. They're going to keep fighting this war. So they got to get it from somebody. I don't think we're going to give it to them. So they have to keep doing that. So that was in the news as well. And I'm not sure if that, and again, what surprised me is after news about any usually type of news about currency or anything like that, usually you see a stock market take a dip, but it actually didn't. It actually stayed up pretty well. So that was a little bit shocking to me. TikTok, there's been a lot of people reporting that TikTok is asking for people's iPhone passwords. A lot of this they're saying is because TikTok is getting pressure to check on journalists and things like that. And a lot of people are just saying, just don't put in your password. You should never put your iPhone password into any place besides your iPhone. Not into the app, not in any apps or anything like that. That's actually a huge security risk. Like I said, I mean, most people, especially if you're using an iPhone, you should have two-factor authentication set up. That's another big one that I tell everybody, always have two-factor on your devices. But like I said, TikTok is actually asking people to put their passwords in. Could be a scam. It might not just be TikTok, could be a scam. They're investigating into it now, but you should not be putting your password or giving your password to anybody. Like I said, on your iPhone, and you know, if you, it's one of those things. And I think a lot of it is, if you are somebody that needs to send, I will point this out, and I see a lot of this, and I pointed this out. There's a couple companies out there that make good money helping out people like this. But if you are somebody that needs to transfer stuff securely, if you're a journalist, or if you're somebody that has trade secrets, something like that, you need to send, reach out to somebody with, you should use something like Signal. Or iMessage, stuff like that. Never send anything through Facebook. Never send anything through TikTok. They're not secured. They're not really designed for that. Anybody at one of those places can read that stuff. Those things are not encrypted. Any messages you send need to be sent end-to-end. That's why you need to use something like Signal, or you need to use something like iMessage. I know Signal is, I want to bring that up, because Signal is actually a tough thing. Signal is trying to raise money. They're a nonprofit organization, and they actually, I think it was like $25 million they need to actually to actually keep going for a couple more years. And I don't think they're going to be able to do it in donations. I know a company like Mozilla Firefox, they actually rely on donations, but they also have a partnership with Google and some of the others to keep making an alternative browser. So that's kind of what keeping them around. Signal is a great service. They're all about nonprofit. We're not owned by anybody. Our main goal is to keep your stuff safe. And I really do like Signal. It's a great service. I hope it doesn't go anywhere. I hope they come up with a way to get the runway for the money. But I will say this, that's going to be a very, very tough thing for them to come up with that much money to keep going, especially on a company like Signal. I know a lot of people that use Signal because it is secure, but they're not willing to pay for it. It's just like that whole thing with public radio, if you guys remember that, what they say, like everybody listens to public radio, but like 2% of people pay for it. It's kind of the same situation. A lot of people that use Signal use it because it's secure and because they're not willing. But I know those same people are not going to say, oh, well, maybe I should pay for it and donate to it. People like journalists and stuff like that rely on it, or people maybe that are in security jobs, or people that are in jobs where security is a big thing, like companies might donate to it if they have their employees using it. It is a free service. You don't pay for it. So I'm sure those people and stuff will pay for it. But to come up with 25 to 50 million to keep it going, I mean, that's a lot of money. So I don't think they're going to be able to raise that in donations. And I do think Signal's going to have to find either another way to do their, because the problem is server costs. So they're either going to have to find a better way to do that, or they're going to have to, somebody's going to have to buy them out, or I don't know, but that I just don't see. They're a great service. I love Signal. They're the most secure messaging out there. Snowden used it. I believe Julian Assange was using it for a while. It's a great service, very secure. They're the guys that invented WhatsApp. So like I said, it's a wonderful service. I think if you do need to send anything securely, that is the way to send it. But I hope they stick around, because I just don't see them coming up with that much money over the next year or two. Unless they get a major donor or a major investor. But we'll have to see what happened with that. Speaking of, I do have a couple questions, by the way, that you guys sent me. We'll get to that shortly, but I just want to finish up with the news stuff first, because I know somebody had sent me a question about a couple things security-wise, and I'll get around to that. Apparently, there is a Boebert. She's the Republican rep, Lauren Boebert. Announced, you guys seen videos, if I've played videos or stuff like that, her on the show. She announced Wednesday that she is switching her congressional district. She wants to get out of the area she's in because she thinks it's going to be Democrat, and she wants to run in an area that's going to be more Republican based. So she is going to move from the 3rd district to the 4th district. Now, the 4th district is generally the 3rd district. Yeah, because 3rd district is more Democratic. I just want to make sure I read that right. Is more Democratic, where the 4th district is generally what they actually call it, the Republican stronghold. And I think she wants to make sure she stays in politics, because if she would lose, she would really be in a kind of a tough situation. So because she would have to be, she'd be forced out of her seat, and I don't think she wants to do that. She wants to stay in politics, considering she's she doesn't want to. I mean, no, we know she doesn't want to lose. We know she's a Trumper. They're gonna want her to stay in there, especially if he becomes president again. So that's why. One thing I did want to say, I didn't know this, is she is actually a 37-year-old grandmother, and a mother of 4 sons. She's like another Sarah Palin. She made her decision to continue the fight against socialism and communists taking over our country, she said, and that's why she wants to stay in. That's why she's moving from the 3rd district to the 4th district, because she wants to make sure she stays in so she can continue her fight. A lot of people, we all know that she's, she's very right-wing, and I've always said that too. Sometimes, being too right is just as bad as being too left, but like I said, and the other reason why she's going there is retiring Republican Ken Bucks is set to be, leaving the end of the, I think he's leaving the end of the term. So she wants to get in there and run against, like I said, that is more of a Republican stronghold. The area she's in, she won, which is good for her, but she might not win again. That's very Republican, they're saying. So she wants to continue her fight, she's saying, and you know, she's moving to that Republican stronghold there. Plus, too, if she goes there, too, that'll keep, you know, that'll protect the thing she's going to is a lot. There's a lot of votes there, so she's moving to a different district too to try to protect the Republican vote there as well. So that was in the news. Footage of Russia killing Ukrainian soldiers on their knees has been spreading around the thing. I think it's a shame. I really hate to see any of that. But, you know, it's they're actually executing people right out, putting people on their knees and executing them like war style stuff. Very Middle East style stuff. Really brutal. And I know for a fact that Ukraine has actually said that they're calling they need more soldiers. They're actually saying they're Ukraine governor calls for 40 million citizens to fight. I guess they need a lot of people in Ukraine are much older, and they're actually saying they right now they have 500,000 people fighting, and the Ukraine says they need at least 2 million more volunteers. I guess they said to be able to continue the fight. The entire country's entire population of 40 million, you know, would be, you know, that's what he said, we have a population of 40 million, and we need everybody to fight, but we need at least 2 million more volunteers. Zelensky's proposal to mobilize people, so he's saying that they would need to mobilize, they're going to need more ammunition, more human resources. Like I said, they're basically, I mean, this is going on for what? It's going to be almost 2 years coming up soon. Like I said, I mean, they have been kind of holding their own over there, but apparently Ukraine needs more soldiers. I know for a fact that they have already made the thing over in Russia saying that they need more people to have more babies because they're saying there's going to be a serious issue with population with the amount of people they've lost. And Ukraine's going through the same thing. Ukraine also has a much older population. So if they want to basically bump the summons age up to 27. So, but kind of like raise the age of the draft or whatever, kind of like we would do here, but, that's what they're actually looking to do. And that it's tough too, because there are people in that, especially in Ukraine, are older. That's just it's not a big country. So they're not like America. We have 300 some odd million people. Yeah. And I mean, Russia has a million, you know, how many, you know, I forget the population there, but I'm sure they have 100 million people there. China has billions. So it's a little bit difficult when you're a small country. So they are going to, like I said, they're definitely going to need more people. So they're looking at possibly raising the draft age 27 so that they'll get more people, older people. And basically, when they think about doing this, what they do is they look at the population of people and say, okay, how can we possibly get as many soldiers as we possibly can? And they're going to look at the ages and say, oh, this is where the majority of our age range is. Let's do that. So that's what they're trying to do. And they're going to have to. I mean, they've been fighting for, I mean, like I said, it's been going on a while now, and it's still going. There's no end in sight at the moment. So we'll have to see what happens. I'm wondering if Putin is just, you know, he's losing a lot of people, but I'm wondering if his attitude is, well, we'll just keep going and eventually we'll outlast them. Like I said, I know that's a horrible thing to say, but that's sometimes the way it is in war. Sometimes you don't win, you just outlast them. So other things as well that I found interesting, they're actually saying that gas prices are on track in 2024. They're saying it could go down to $3.13, which isn't that far off from where it is now, but they're actually saying that it could hit $3 a gallon again. The sad part is that's not really low as far as I'm concerned. They're saying they are looking at possibly, with the way things are going, Texas and Mississippi could have as low as $2.67, $2.68. They're saying that places, California has the highest ones at $4.68, $4.65. Looks like it could go down. They're saying to $3 a gallon. It still really isn't low, and it hasn't come down, especially since the war started. It's not, and I don't think with that war going on overseas, it's ever going to really go down now. It's going to stay up there for a while. And, you know, as soon as that started, they immediately started raising the prices. So, I mean, it as long as there is two wars going on, the prices, I'd be surprised if the prices go down. I mean, oil's what, 70 some odd or 80 some odd dollars a barrel now. It's pushing close to 70. I mean, it's coming down, and as the cost of the barrels come down, the price of the pump goes down. But I have noticed that it takes a while for the price to go down before the price of the pump, you know, the prices go up, you know, a quarter, you know, 50 cents, and then come down a few cents, go up again, come down. You know, it goes up so fast, but comes down so slow. And if you watch the stock market, oil's been coming down price per barrel. And it doesn't look like it's going to, I mean, it is coming down and down and down and down, but the price at the pump is taking quite a while, because what they're doing, they're saying, okay, well, let's wait a little bit and see where the oil goes before we bring the price way down. And like I said, I doubt we'll ever see, especially as long as there's two wars going on, I doubt we'll ever see like $2.50 a gallon again. But one of the things too, I wanted to bring up, somebody we had a bunch of questions. I got a bunch of questions, and I love all the questions, guys. Tweet me at KB3YUA on Twitter. That's my Twitter handle. Send your questions there, and I'll read and I'll get to them on air. But some interesting things. Somebody had asked me about somebody had said about mass shooting contagion. They had asked if I ever heard of something like that. They had heard about it recently. And basically what that is basically anytime where there's a shooting, and how the news and all that glorifies it. I hate to use the word glorify, but that's the only word I can think of to describe it. But basically what it is you know, the news covers stuff, and basically what mass shooting contagion is, it's a theory or a study that the more you cover something in the media, the more potential you have for it to happen. We used to call them copycats now, you know, back in the day, I guess you could say, but now they call it, they have a word for it called mass shooting contagion. They say the Columbine shooting, because it was given so much coverage, led to more of these shoot. And they're basically, what they're saying is, the more that people cover these shootings, and the more the news cover these shootings, the more that they will happen. It's a theory that I actually read about. Somebody had sent this to me. I thought it was actually interesting. You can find it up on WikiLeaks, Wikipedia, and actually talks about how the mass media, their coverage of large events like this, the more they cover them, the more they happen. It's a theory that somebody had come up with. It's the same reason why when you listen to like shows like Megyn Kelly, she will not mention the name of any mass shooter. And a lot of people say, well, she just doesn't, you know, it has to do with, if you don't give them the publicity and stuff like that. It's part of this whole theory that the more coverage and the more you talk about these things, the more of a chance there is for it to happen. The more you talk about them, the more you glorify them, the more people do it because they want to be glorified. It's a whole big thing. But somebody had actually sent me this, and I wanted to read it. I don't want to read the whole thing on the air, but somebody had sent this to me. Actually, it's a pretty interesting theory. Like I said, you can go up on Wikipedia and read it all. I don't want to read it all on air. It's a big, pretty blog thing, but it's actually kind of interesting and actually does make a lot of sense from the human psyche standpoint. Also, too, somebody had sent me a tweet asking about, they said, I know you have background in security. What do you recommend for storage? HIPAA compliance, I know, is a thing. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, this is an interesting question. So when stuff is being sent up to the internet or to the cloud, it has to be sent up secure. That's end-to-end encryption. But once the data is up there, when the data, what they call, is at rest, what we call it in the security industry, who can actually see it? And that's something that is really interesting, because I know a lot of people that have actually said, well, I use Gmail, it's HIPAA compliant. And I've come at, no, it's not. If you're using a regular @gmail.com account, that is not actually HIPAA compliant. If you have the paid version of Google, their Google Workspace, that is HIPAA compliant, but an actual Gmail account is not HIPAA compliant. They are allowed to search the documents. They are allowed to look at the data when it's at rest, all that kind of stuff. The same thing goes for like Dropbox. I have a lot of people say, well, I use Dropbox because it's HIPAA compliant. No, it's not. A regular @Dropbox account, a free one, is not HIPAA compliant. The business version is HIPAA compliant, but the one you actually pay for, the consumer version, is not. Only the business version HIPAA compliant. Also, too, even if they are HIPAA compliant, that doesn't mean that when the data is at rest, people can't see it. Google has been, the only ones that are truly completely encrypted, where even the people that run the service can't see it, are Mega.nz. There's also another one called Spider Oak. That's one where the data that's stored up there, even the service provider can't see. OneDrive is HIPAA compliant, the business version, but not the personal version. But they have in the actual version of OneDrive, they have something called the Vault, which is where you can drop your files. When you drop those files in the Vault, they are actually so secure that Microsoft can't even see them when they're at rest. So those kinds of things are safe as far as when you put your stuff up there, nobody else can read it. One of the other things that I wanted to point out is people say all the time, well, iCloud storage is very secure. And it is to a certain degree, but one of the things that Apple has done over the years is they wanted to actually encrypt. Like if you plug your iPhone in and do a backup on your computer, there's a checkbox that's not checked by default that says encrypt backup, where you can actually encrypt your phone backup. When you back up your phone to the cloud every night through iCloud storage, that backup is not encrypted in iCloud. Apple has actually done that because they've had many of issues where the FBI needs to get in and get a backup of a phone for security purposes. So that's actually one of the reasons why Apple a bunch of years ago was going to go ahead and back your stuff up to the cloud encrypted. And I guess they got big blowback from people in the security industry that deal with the FBI and stuff that said, well, if you do that, when we have phones, we won't be able to crack. We won't be able to get the backups. So that is actually one of the reasons why. When you actually, your phone's backed up every night to Apple when you're sleeping and when it's at rest or whatever they call it, but that actually is not an encrypted backup. Somebody breaks into your iCloud, they can actually steal a backup of your phone. And I know you're like, what? But yeah, that is actually true. If you encrypt, you can encrypt it on your computer, but when you back it up automatically to the cloud every night, it's not encrypted. It's very important to know that. Like I said, even when you back up your phone, like if you have an Android, you back your phone up every night to Google Drive, that's not encrypted. Anybody that can get access to your thing can. A lot of people don't realize this, though. When you back up to Google Drive, accessing their terms of service, Google does have the right to search through your documents and stuff like that. Same thing with when you use regular Gmail. One of the reasons why Gmail is so controversial is because they actually say that while Google doesn't actually read your email, they do actually read the email headers that go through when you send an email to somebody. That's even if you're saying, well, I'll just forward my email. But if you're forwarding your email, as long as it's hitting Google server, they're reading the email headers. That's one of the reasons why when you get an amp, the theory is, and nobody's been able to prove this, but it's kind of writings on the wall. When you actually, as a user, if you notice when you buy something on Amazon, they actually send it to you, but you don't get a pick. You don't get, it just says your order number has been shipped. There's a reason it doesn't give you the actual what you ordered information, because Amazon doesn't want Google reading the headers and then knowing where to, what to target ads at you. That's kind of Amazon's way of kind of getting around Google targeting ads and taking business away from them. Amazon doesn't want Google reading your email headers and then knowing what you're shopping for and then targeting ads at you and taking business away from Amazon. A lot of people don't know that. There are encrypted email services out there that are much more. There are a lot of email services are better than Gmail as far as safety goes and people not reading your stuff. The problem is if you want to use any Google services, you need a Gmail account. But anything like Proton Mail or Tuda.io, the Fastmail, if you want something simple and basic, just somebody not reading your email, Fastmail is really good. Even Microsoft, their Outlook.com, Microsoft has a search business, but it's not their primary business. There hasn't been any proof yet of them reading mail to target ads at you. I mean, they may be, but there hasn't been any proof ever proven of it. But Like I said, Fast Mail is pretty good. They're pretty cheap. Proton Mail is really good. They're a little pricey, but they encrypt all your mail. The one thing that's nice about something like Proton Mail or like TUTIO, T-U-T-I-O, is they actually encrypt your mail, so they can't even see your email. So not that you have to worry about that, but if you ever had anything where you had to produce your email, or anybody ever, they ever got subpoenaed, they can't ever look at your mail. Google and stuff can't actually see your mail. But services like that where your email is all encrypted, they can't even see the email. So those services are nice. Fastmail is very secure, but it's not as encrypted as those kind of services, but those services, you're paying for that. Those services are not cheap, but Fastmail is pretty good. At least you're not using Google. Outlook.com is pretty good. There's no been anything about them reading emails and stuff like that. So there are services out there that you can use that are better than Google and will protect your privacy. And that's if you're worried about it. You know, if you're worried about, everybody should be worried about privacy, but a lot of people don't. But that's why, like I said, we talked about Signal before and stuff like that. But I thought that was a good question. I wanted to save that one for the show because I thought that was actually a really cool question. Talking about security and storage. The other question somebody had for me about security, which I saved it too, is a lot of good questions this week about security. I'm not sure what triggered this, but they did. One of the other questions that somebody had, which I really thought were interesting, was somebody asked about your photos. So if you upload your photos while they're backed up and saved, I had heard stories about people looking at your photos. So nobody's actually looking at your photos. But if you do store photos up in like Amazon, has free photos storage for Prime users. Google has, photo storage. So does Facebook. It does actually say in their terms of service though, that if you do store photos on these services while the storage is free, they do have right to use the metadata of the picture, that they do have rights to use the photo, the image of on the photo, things like that for actually training AI or for anything that they want to use it for facial recognition software they're working on, anything like that, for the VR stuff. Does actually say right in the terms, there, Facebook's gotten their hands caught in the cookie jar a few times with this, where they've actually used people's photo, where they actually got caught using people's photos for actually training their AI or training their VR headset. We know Amazon has said a couple times that they've actually gotten caught using photos. I think it was for training something or working on some kind of location services they were using on. They were using the photos for that. I think, and I don't remember the whole story, but I know Amazon's gotten caught. I know Google's gotten caught. And I know that Facebook's gotten caught with using their photos. Like I said, and it tells you right in the terms of service that if you upload a photo, they have the right to use it for any project they're working on. It does actually say there in their terms of service. Just because free photo storage is not free, you're paying for it in some way, whether it's your data or your privacy or whatever, you're paying for it. But like I said, and some people don't care, but I'm just letting you know that they have. I know Amazon's gotten caught. I think they're working with IBM for facial recognition software. I think Amazon's working with IBM for facial recognition software, and they were using photos with faces on it to help train IBM's recognition software. I think that was a story. That was a while back. I know Facebook's gotten caught doing it for their AI, and I know for a fact Google's gotten caught using photos and metadata to tweak their map service. Again, there's been a couple of ones, but that's... those are the ones that I remember. So yes, if you are using your free file storage, if you don't care, that's fine. Use the free file storage. Save yourself a couple bucks a month. Those dollars add up. You can pay, because that's where the world's going. There's something called subscription fatigue. And, all these services want you to all pay for subscriptions. But the problem with that is these few dollar a month services, times it by how many services you add, those subscription services really start to add up and really start to bite people in the ass. And that's kind of where we're going with so many subscription services and so many paying for, it's not the $15 a month Netflix account that kills you, but it's the $15 for this, the $12 for this, the $8 for this, the $16 for this, the $20 for this. And then you end up, you have hundreds of dollars a month in subscription fees. So That's actually something else called subscription fatigue, and I've actually read a lot about that, and that's actually a real thing. But like I said, if you can save money, you don't care about that stuff, feel free to use the free the free storage. I mean, as long as you don't care about that stuff. I do, and that's why I don't use them. But again, not everybody cares about that stuff. But that is something, a very good point to bring up, that that stuff does happen where they do use your photos and stuff like that. The other question I got too was from somebody that messaged me, wanted to know, they know the podcast is audio. Is there any reason why you don't stream it on Rumble? We know you use Rumble for some of your videos and some of your game streaming. Why don't you use the podcast? Why don't you live stream the podcast? I don't at the moment, because the podcast always releases on a Monday, and I could never do the live stream on a Monday. I'm just too busy with my business and stuff like that. I actually, what's nice about the podcast is I can tape it, and then it gives me time to edit it and do all that kind of stuff if I want to, or go ahead if I want to tape it at night or tape it in the morning or whenever I have free time, I can tape it. And then same thing with the videos. The videos I post that I'm going to be posting, they're not live. The videos I made whenever I had free time and I post them. I just like the podcast and the audio-only version right now just because it gives me a little more flexibility with my time. And it gives me a little more chance sometimes you hear me do it in the car ride on the way home, or you've heard me, or like the videos, if I've got some downtime one day after work, they've got some time, a little extra time, I work on the videos, some of that. So I don't particularly mind doing the videos because they're not live. I can make them and work on them for weeks at a time. Same thing with the podcast. I can do it on my ride home if I have time to kill on the ride home, or if I want to do it, at night or in the morning when everybody's sleeping. I can do it. It just gives me more flexibility. If the show was live, I'd have to be beholden to a schedule of doing it every day at this time. And I did try doing that on some of the earlier episodes that I did on Rumble. I tried to actually be beholden and do it at a certain time, but I kept missing episodes. I would miss a couple weeks because the schedule was busy that time. And then I tried doing it over the weekends, but then we get busy sometimes on the weekends. So it was just too much, and it was just too hard for me to try to do those things. It just was too complicated. Somebody had said, why don't you record the video and post it up on Rumble? I guess I could record a video and post it on Rumble. That'd be a huge video, though, because some of the podcast episodes are 45 minutes to an hour. That would take a while to upload. I could do that, but it's another thing I'd have to edit and all that kind of stuff. It just, right now, the thing, right now, doing the podcast and posting videos seems to work for me pretty well. And right now we're just going to stick with that because it gives me the flexibility that I need, and it lets me be able to do a show every week. And like I said, the videos, some of the videos I've done like a month ago or 2 months ago, again, it just gives me that flexibility to not be holding to a certain live streaming schedule. Like I said, it just makes it easier for me to do the show. The live streaming, as far as like a lot of you guys know, I do live stream on the weekends on Rumble. I usually live stream like Halo or Call of Duty or Counter-Strike or Longest Dark, which is a survival game I like to play. I do live stream that stuff on the weekends when I'm available. But again, that's not a set schedule. I don't have to do it. I just like doing it, and I'm usually free on a weekend night, so I'll do it. But like I said, I don't have to do it. That's just something I like to do. And I like doing it on the weekend because it's easier for me. And then plus two, I'm available on the weekend, and sometimes if I have an hour free, I'll just jump on and live stream and chat with everybody. And I know everybody enjoys that extra content, enjoys chatting with me and sit live and stuff like that. But if I had to actually beholden to it, that's why a lot of times, like I know a couple people say, well, you haven't live streamed in like 2 weeks. Well, because I haven't had the time. But I am able to kind of work my schedule around this show. So I'm able to do it every week and record it. And then the videos, I'm able to do that in my spare time as well. So that's kind of why we don't have a set schedule. It'd be nice. It would be. But I think it's a little better for me this way at my schedule at the moment. Again, I don't do this full time. So it's one of those things. But again, I want to thank you. Like I said, all the questions, I love them. Send them at, like I said, on Twitter. at KB3YUA. It's my call sign for my ham radio rig. Like I said, any other thing, like I said, also all of our old episodes, if you want more to listen to, survivalpodcast.org. And like I said, all the videos are available on our website as well, or at rumble.com. I will include the link below. Thank you very much, and we'll speak to you on the next episode.